The Bible set the agenda, we worked our way through a big passage, so if you read last week, what are we doing this week? Next part, in Matthew's Bible. A Bible in the Bible called Matthew wrote about Jesus. I've noticed over the last couple of years something different when I talk to people about Jesus. Especially when I talk to non-Jesus followers, non-Christians, whatever words you want to use, but people aren't quite sure about where they stand in Jesus. I've noticed something a bit different. And it's not the words they say, but it's in the face that they give me. And I don't like the face they give, but I've got to be honest, I completely understand why my non-Jesus follower, non-Christian friends give me this face. And I was recently reading a biography of Billy Graham. I know some of you know Billy Graham very well. Some of you have seen Billy Graham speak, haven't you? Dorian? I thought someone told me he'd seen Billy Graham actually speak in Australia. One of his ministers, that's what I must have been, yeah. In the 50s and 60s, when the President of the United States wanted to implement any bill, a new immigration bill, whatever, who did he go and speak to first? He went and spoke to his pastor to get a position on that. And non-Christians, non-Jesus followers, when they're having problems with their parents, whether it be what to do with their older people or what to do with their kids, who did they go and take advice from? In the 50s and 60s, they went and took advice from the local Christian minister, even if they weren't quite sure what about Jesus. But that doesn't happen anymore today, and I think it's linked to that place that I get when I start talking about Jesus. And some of these people I talk to, I've shared my life with them. We've shared the struggles, we've shared the good times and the bad times of their life. But they give me that look, and that's look of, so where's the hypocrisy? And while I hate it, I've got to be honest, I understand why they give it to me. Because as Christians, as a whole, we've been really good at saying one thing and doing another. As Christians, we've been even better at doing things for reasons other than the reason we should be doing them. We've been really good at doing things so that we look good rather than he looks good. So if you're here today and Jesus and you haven't really worked it out yet, and the reason you don't want to go any closer is you look at the history of Christianity and you go, a bunch of hypocrites. Or if you're like me, a Jesus follower, and when you on those rare occasions let yourself look into your heart, you see that dark, rank hypocrisy, then I'm sorry to say Jesus has something to say to both those kind of people. And at least in secondary, it's not going to be comfortable in heaven. So I reckon if Jesus is about to reveal the truth to us and it ain't going to be comfortable, if Jesus is about to take those hard and hurtful hearts and give them a squeeze, the best thing for us to do, he's afraid we're going to let his spirit do that. So let me pray and we'll get into the passage. God, thanks for your spirit and thanks for your word. We pray today that the camera comfortableness, the set ways that we have, we ready to be ripped apart by the truth that only your Son can take this. Amen. So where are we in this 28th chapter book of biography of Jesus? Well, as Phil said, we're smack in the middle of Jesus' first big talk. So it goes about 3 or 4 pages in your Bible. The only thing Jesus said before this is, and the kingdom of God is the only thing we've got recorded in Matthew's biography. 3 weeks ago, Ben kicked us off in this, and he went through a list of things, some great truths that Jesus was telling. Jesus, in this list of things, talked about who's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He talked about who's going to be children of God, and he talked about who is going to see God face to face. Some amazing things. Now, last week, Jesus turned his radar to a group of people who thought they were going to inherit the kingdom of God, who thought they were going to be children of God and see God face to face, because of the way they kept the law. And for those of you last week, impossible. You just can't do it that way. It's not possible. Well, this week, Jesus continues to dissect the hearts of those who do actions for the wrong reason. He does it by looking at 3 Jewish observances. So he looks at giving. Giving is
uses the proverbial
prayer and fasting. Now, to understand this part of the biography of Jesus that Linda read to us earlier, we actually need to get ourselves into a first century Jewish mindset. We need to understand what those three observances actually meant. So let's kick off with the first one. Jews, giving was the most important act of righteousness, using their words, act of righteousness. It is so important. If you go and learn Hebrew, you might recommend that. Did you do any Hebrew? Someone. If you go and learn Hebrew, which is the one thing else, there is only one word for giving and righteousness. It is the same word. The only way you work out if it's giving or righteousness is you have to look at the context of the word. You cannot be righteous without giving, according to the Jews. It is that important, that religious observance. In Jewish traditions of the day, prayers were pretty different from the way they are now. In tradition, there were times that you prayed every day. So, whatever you were doing, you stopped and you prayed aloud. Now, Jews weren't the only people doing this today. It was almost every religion that did it. And it was common to be walking through the middle of a marketplace and hear all these people stop at a certain time and start praying. The sun went down, the sun came up. And often it was people yelling the names of their gods to get their attention for their supplications, the things they wanted. The third one, fasting, for Jews is a sun up to sun down thing. But as a law, it's only one day. The only time you have to do it is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. But at this time, the Jewish sects were almost playing a game of who could fast the most and the best. So if you are extra religious, you do extra fasting. There's only one day you had to do it. They still do the Day of Yom Kippur. So that's what we've got. We've got three big Jewish observances, and Jesus wants to have a chat about how these are being done. Now let's be honest, every Jew would have probably done each one of these observances at some time. But there's a group of Jews, a group of zealous Jews, that Jesus wants to talk to, who seem to be doing it all the time. And this is what Jesus has to say to these people, who are striving hard to make sure they do all of these observances. Let's have a look at verse 1. Not the other screen, it's not, you've got to get out one. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, sentence 1 of the passage we've got today, that Jesus changed his direction from what we looked at last time, he says one thing, be careful. What do they need to be careful of? They need to be careful, they're going to miss out on a reward from God. So what could they do that would mean they would miss out on a reward from God? Well, practice their righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Now remember from last week, Jesus said in verse 20 of chapter 5, which hopefully comes up to me, For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus has already told these people that their righteousness has to be better than the most righteous. Now let's break that down. It means your giving has to be better than the best giver, your prayers have to be better than the best prayer, your fasting has to be better than the best fasting. So do a Moroccan, something like that. You have to go further than those who are famous for being the most righteous. And if someone said to me afterwards, we talked about that passage last week, and they said it in a much nicer way, but they said, Daniel, it's impossible to do my acts of righteousness appropriately all the time. If Jesus is the one, trusting him, why would I do any acts of righteousness? I think Jesus gives us two reasons that you might want to do your acts of righteousness. And he actually says you will get a reward for either of these. So no matter which one you choose, you will get a reward. So let's have a look at the reward that's on offer. So what we're going to do is have a look at verse 2, verse 5, and verse 16. So in relation to giving, Jesus says in verse 2, so when you give to the needy, You're not announcing with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites again, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and on the street corner to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 16, and when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show their fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Look, hypocrisy is just a Greek word that's made its way into English language. I won't try and pronounce Greek because I think someone laughed at me in the Greek. It's funny, we don't find out what the word means, it's just being actor. So the Greek word is just actor. You don't have to actively hypocrite, that's just you think it through. What does an actor do? An actor pretends they're not who they are and pretends that they're someone else. They put on a false exterior to hide who they really are. And this is exactly what Jesus is accusing these people of doing. He's calling them actors, he's calling them hypocrites. These observances were designed for one purpose, so that the nation of Israel could thank its God for what it's done for them. What has it done for the nation of Israel? It's dragged them out of slavery in Egypt. It's made a special covenant with this one nation. You will be my people and I will be your God. And I could go on for 20 minutes giving you examples in the Old Testament of what they've done for the Jewish people. But that's not the reason they're doing it. Why are they doing it? They're doing it because they want recognition, not from God, but from you. Men and women. They want men and women to marvel at how religious and observant they are. What does Jesus say is going to happen? They set out with that goal. What does he say? He said they're succeeding. He actually said they're succeeding in what they set out to do. He doesn't say their acting or their hypocrisy is in vain. He says they've got everything they want. Look at the bold words in your outline or the last part there. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They are always, the three words are exactly the same, three times. It's quote, three times. And it says these actors, these hypocrites, have got everything they ever wanted from their religious observances. And this is the reward that I find myself wanting all the time. I want you to recognize me. I want you to applaud me. I want you to tell me how thankful you are and how great you are, and trust that I'm not really that. I'm really good at hiding those moments under some false, humble exterior. But let me be clear. This is what I want. And this is what you want. I will get one reward. I will get probably get your thank you out the back, but what won't I get? Back to verse 1. What's it say in verse 1 again? Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If you do seek public recognition, if you want to put on the act, put on a mask and actor, and continue to pretend you're something you're not, then answer it. If that's why you do these observances, then cancel. If that's why you do any service at all, then cancel. If all you want is people recognition, then cancel. You might get it, but you will get no reward from your Father in heaven. You will get the reward of people recognition, but not the reward of God's recognition. So let's be honest. And I work with Channel 7 for a while. So I have worked with people and friends with people who have one goal in life. And what's the one goal in life? Public recognition. That's it. I used to do the salary packaging for the guys, the actors of Channel 7. They didn't really care what their salary was. What did they care about? Public recognition. So let's see. God is offering something other than that too. And it's a great temptation, public recognition. Let's have a look at what this reward is. Let's try and work out what this reward is that God is offering that could be in some way better than, I was going to say, picking up a load. Doesn't work, does it? That's a baby, There can be something better than public recognition. So let's have a look at these three things again, and let's break them down. So the first one, we're going to have a look at what God, what Jesus has to say about giving, then about prayer, then about fasting. So the first three, we've got the outline there. Verse 3 and 4, but when you do give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 6, talking about prayer. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Same word again. Verse 17 and 18, he's talking about fasting. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it may not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Same words again. If you are going to serve our great God, if you're going to take these three great Jewish observances, if you're going to do any service to God at all, then quite those natural desires for public recognition, yes, you do. Let's do it in secret. Let's be honest, it's not quite in secret. You can't do these things in secret because we know someone's watching. Who's watching when we do our service in secret? Our great God. There's only one person who sees it, and that's going to be God. So if your actions are to Him alone, thanking Him for what He's done for us, and responding in awe and wonder at His great character and His great actions, and if you're doing it so no one can praise you, then why not do it? There is no question at all. And once again, Jesus takes this to a ridiculous level. I love it. He says, when it comes to giving, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So again, I guess it's possible to actually do it for my own recognition, that I can congratulate myself for giving. I thought, that's a good idea. And then I heard myself having this conversation with David Hackman, telling him, you know, how proud I was about how giving I'm giving the appropriate and good and sacrificial. I was congratulating myself for my own recognition I was actually. So I think we can actually do it as much as possible. Let's do this stuff for Him, not for our own public recognition. So, the reward that the actors and hypocrites received was public recognition, but what is this reward that we get when we do it just for Him? What's this reward that goes beyond recognition again in Him? What's this reward that the Father will give to those who are just in Him? Put simply, it's here to recognize us. Now, if we go back to the stuff that Ben looked at 3 weeks ago, so 1 page back, start chapter 5, and we'll get it. I'm going to put up on the screen just verses 11 and 12, but I love it so much, so I've got to read it from verse 3, and you can just enjoy hearing what Ben took us through 3 weeks ago. It goes, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely call you all kinds of evil because of them. Rejoice and be glad, that your great is your reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This reward, this great reward of people who trust in God, who don't just do their service for their own public recognition, what? It's the kingdom of God. It's comfort, it's fulfillment, it's mercy, it's being a loved child of God. It's amazing. And there's no comparison. None at all. The fleeting and worthless recognition of men and women, which temporarily masks my real heart, my true self, all my insecurities, or recognition from God. Which one's better? It's no question which one I should desire. But before I go on, I just want you to know, this is a free gift. Well, it's free for us. But the fact that we can have this costs a lot. It costs our God a lot. See, this is the last 3 years from this war. our God's Son was hanging out on the cruel cross just outside Jerusalem. 3 years from that, why did he do it? He did it because of my salvation. He did it because of my hypocrisy. He did it because of my act. And he says, if you can turn your mind away from yourself just long enough to trust in this amazing thing that I've done for you, this amazing God that I've got, then all of this reward is yours. Seriously, you've worked out where you stand with Jesus, with God, with Christianity, or you're not quite sure or whatever, then I'm happy to sit down with you and read the whole of Matthew's book. It takes less than an hour. I'll buy the beers, I'll buy the Modelo, and we'll read it, and you can make your mind up to where you think this God is actually God's plan to save us. But before we end up, I have missed the most famous part of this passage, and the part that you all went on. I've seen that before. But this is the part on prayer. So let's have a look at that. Starting in verse 7, it's in the outline of John. It says, "And when you pray, do not be on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. In this case, you pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, give us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins.'" And I'm getting some for asking this question, as people love this passage. Probably some people's favourite part of the Bible. But is this just an aside? But seriously, you've seen the rhythm of exactly the same words given again and again about the three different things, and stuck in the prayer one, he just goes on a bit longer. Is this just an afterthought, or talking about prayer for a good time, to stick his prayer stuff, so that he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, which is my next talk, or no, whatever it is? Is it just an afterthought? I don't think so. But I do think when we read this passage, we do that by every passage. We need to read it in its broader context. We need to read the passage around it. If God is a God who sees what's done in secret, if God is a God who knows what we need before we ask Him, then this has to be the way to pray and talk to God. Why? If God is a God who does not need to hear you scream His name out like the other gods do, He doesn't need you to stand on a street corner and announce to the world that you're praying, because He's already listened, then this has to be how to pray. Why? It's just such a simple prayer. This is not a prayer that you stand up, people at the end and go, "Whoa, that was the most amazing prayer I've ever heard." How well did they explain that concept, that eloquent point? I'm not saying for those who pray for us every week, thank you to those who pray for us every week, but you don't want to take it seriously. This is a prayer of someone who humbly sits under a God who can do anything, has done it all, and will do it all for us. This is not a prayer about us. This is not a prayer by someone putting on some fake act of hypocrisy. This is a prayer to Him who has done everything for us. Well, so feel free to pray. January 11th, let's close it, because we all want to go home and do whatever you do on January 11th. What reward do you want? What reward do you want? The best part about this passage is you can't lose. Jesus makes it very clear, you can get whatever reward you want. So if you want fame and public recognition, and I've written in here, "you absolute idiot," which is for me, then I am saying that this passage says you can get it. You will probably succeed, but remember, that's all you will ever get for all that striving you do. But if you want God's reward, then do it for Him alone. Give to Him and Him alone. Pray for Him and Him alone. If you want to fast, fast for Him and Him alone. Whatever you do, do it for Him and Him alone and not for you. Serve, and serve your butt off, but serve in the right way. There has never been. And then reward greater than what Jesus is putting on the table right now, there will never be. Are you letting your own desires for public recognition get between you and the greatest reward ever? Ken, are you letting that happen? You should be asking yourself the same question. The answer is, well, stop. Stop it now and serve him and him alone. There is only one person we act for. There is only one person who deserves glory for his glory. Amen.